Oh, BD, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Let me just ramp up your volume a little bit.
Okay.
All right. This is BD Lenz calling in from Hackentown, New Jersey. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. Been having a good morning. Been here since 6 o'clock. Hope I didn't wake you too early.
Oh, no, it's cool. I had a little time to wake up, just a little bit.
Yeah, we all do. Anyway, tell me about, I'm playing Straight Up right now, and I Take Refuge in You. Where did that, how did you get to that title?
Well, I've actually done a little practice in Buddhism, and it's sort of like a phrase a lot about Buddha and stuff. So, I mean, I don't try to inflict my personal beliefs in my music that much, but, you know, it's just a phrase that kind of meant something to me.
I like it. It's nice. I like to go over to the Catskill Mountains and do a little work on trains over there, and there's a lot of Buddhism up in the Appalachian Mountains. And isn't Hackettown in the borderline area of the Appalachian Range?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Buddhist monks down there?
Yeah, there are actually a few places around. Excuse me.
Sure.
Yeah, there's actually one. There's a monastery fairly local to me that I go to every once in a while.
Interesting. Have you ever heard of... Oh, what's the name of the group I used to love? They play similar, a lot of really nice jazz, and they're, you hear Buddhist chants in the background. Well, it'll come to me. Anyway, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into music, and let our audience know, you know, what your training has been.
Sure. Basically, you know, I right after high school, I went to the Musicians Institute in Los Angeles, and I studied guitar. I mean, I had no... you know, it wasn't like I was set out to be a jazz guitar player. I just wanted to be a musician, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, when I came out of school, you know, I played in some bands, but I also fairly early on, excuse me, started my own project, like my own fusion band, mm-hmm. jazz fusion band, with just some local guys, that, you know, that I kind of took up with. So, you know, along the way, I mean, I played as a sideman with a lot of people, you know, artists in New York, because I'm from outside of New York City.
Yeah, I read some in your bio, Randy Brecker, and who else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play with some great people. I mean, on my new record, I have bass player Will Lee, who's like the bass player in New York.
Yeah, I loved watching him on Letterman. You'd only get a little snippet of him now and then, but his technique looked phenomenal.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the guy's been on, like, thousands of records.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a huge honor.
One of your reviews mentioned that the first time you met him was when you walked in the studio. That must be kind of intimidating to...
it was, because I really had no idea what to expect. I mean, I had met him like once before, really briefly, but,
right.
You know, I never worked with the guy, and, you know, you just don't know what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate. Like, he was just the funniest, sweetest guy ever, so it was awesome.
Yeah, he looks like a goof when you see him on Letterman. He always dresses in sunglasses or...
Yeah, he is. He's like one of the funniest guys I've ever met, really. And it's cool because it really kept the sessions, you know, really light and fun. You know?
Yeah. Well, tell me about Hit It and Quit. Where'd you get the title? And tell me a little bit about the work on it.
Sure. There's a title track, Hit It and Quit. And, mm-hmm. And I guess the reason I came up with that name is... I don't know, the tune itself is kind of like funky, it's got a little swagger to it, you know, and it made me think of James Brown or something, so, you know, he always is like, hit it, you know, can I hit it and quit, so,
sure.
It just kind of, you know, made me think of something like that, and plus, you know, with this record, having these great musicians on it, and it was recorded in this great, I mean, it was really a great production, and I was really proud of it, so, you know, I had a lot of confidence about it.
Yeah, we're happy to be playing it here. Why don't I roll Hit It and Quit, and we can let our audience hear that, and then we'll get back to a little more chatting later. Hold on, I'll grab the phone, and we can talk while it's playing.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Jeff Mattoon. Wow.
Yeah, that guy's pretty amazing.
He is hot. Where does he hail from? What groups is he in?
He's a Brooklyn guy, and actually, he's the only guy on this record who is from my regular band.
I see.
I've been playing with Jeff for like 15 years, and he's just so good. And he's put out a record of his own, but he's actually got, that was years ago, he's got another one he's going to put out in about a year. So.
Can you have him send us a copy? That'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd love to play more of that.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be on it, too.
Fantastic. So the two of you just walked into the studio with Nick and Will and Joel and all these people, and what do? You contract them to read music while you're...
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, they were hired by the label to do it.
Okay.
And I was really, really excited because I knew these guys, you know, of them. I've never worked with them before, but, you know, before the session, like, I sent them charts of everything, and then I make up, like, demos of my tunes. On the computer, I have, like, this program, and I mock up the tunes.
Sure.
And I send them the demos and the charts, you know.
Yep.
It was pretty amazing because they nailed it, you know. Like, after, you know, we probably ran through it once or twice just to play it, and then they nailed it. I mean,
what professionals. Yeah, I heard that I used to love Pat Metheny, and I heard that he and Charlie Hayden, would just send discs to each other, and the other one would fill in their part and send it back, see how the other one liked it, sort of like McCartney and Lennon, you know.
Yeah, I love them, too. That duo record they did is
phenomenal.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of touring. It's Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, mostly, it looks like. Where are you off to this fall?
Yeah, I mean, we play around a lot. I mean, you know, this fall, we're staying fairly local, like in the New Jersey, New York, PA area.
Right.
You know, but we do travel overseas, you know.
So. Do you ever get up to New England proper up here? The Boston area.
Unfortunately, we haven't. It just hasn't worked out yet. But, you know, I've spoken to other people up there, like Bob Cochran.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to make it a point to get up there at some point. So.
Yeah, Bob Cochran, there's big news yesterday. Bob is now WSCA's music director.
Get out of here. Where's that? Where's that station?
Well, his other station, he works up out of a station in Portland as well, but he's just become employed down here in the Portsmouth area. And he does Uncle Ezekiel's Used Pyramid Emporium on Sunday afternoons, which is a combination of jazz and comedy.
Oh, no kidding.
Uncle Ezekiel's Used Pyramid Emporium. And unfortunately, we're losing one of our main staff people here, and Bob's going to step up and help out with all the new music that comes in and getting it categorized and sending it off to the various genre heads and so forth. So I'm really applauding his decision.
Well,
yesterday.
I'm happy to hear that because he's great.
He really is. He's lent me so much help. We have an automation system that I try and keep track of, keep the music going when DJs aren't scheduled. And he's helped me out so much in world music, especially. He's got a lot of breadth in that as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Who were some of the influences, I should ask you, when you were coming up as a guitarist? Who did you like to...
Well, you know, early on, like, growing up, I was, you know, I grew up in rock and pop music. I mean...
Right, we all did.
Jimi Hendrix, I mean, as far as guitar players, you know, of course, Jimi Hendrix,
yeah.
Ray Vaughan, Joe Satriani.
Yeah, Satriani.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was like in the whole 80s, you know, burning rock guitar player thing. And,
yeah, 40,000
yeah,
notes
mean,
an hour.
I definitely was into that.
Right.
And still am to some degree, but,
sure.
You know, after I went to school, I got more into the jazz thing, and the first guy that really, like, knocked me out was Mike Stern.
Yeah.
And I lived, breathed, and ate Mike Stern for a few years, and I used to see him all the time.
Not a bad addiction.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I transcribed tons of his stuff. I studied with him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so that was like, he was like the bridge from the jazz, or from the rock to the jazz thing, because he kind of is in between, you know.
Sure, fusion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got his new album from the spring. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. Is there another cutoff of Hit It that you'd like to hear? Or have our audience hear?
The first song, which is called H-Town.
Right, that's an homage to your hometown, your current residence.
Exactly right.
Tell me a little about the town and how the song relates to it.
Well, it's cool because, you know, I once I'm married with kids, and once I had kids, my wife and I kind of wanted to move a little bit away from the city.
Yeah.
And where we are is really nice because we're right on the border between the, you know, the suburban sprawl and then just like farmland. We're right on the edge. So,
yeah.
You know, for me to get to New York City, it's an hour, and I don't mind at all because it's worth being out here.
Really conveniently located. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, here's the song, and I'll be back to you in, what does it say here? 5 minutes and 44 seconds.
Cool, man.
Talk to you then. McMahon. It sounds like they've done that song 50 times.
Oh, cool.
What a nice horn section.
I had a horn section on that, which is like a first for me. I actually arranged a whole horn section for it.
Right. I'm reading it here on the back of your disc. It's amazing. Yeah. So they had one or two practice sessions, and then that was it?
Yeah, I mean, with each song, like, we'd run through it once, maybe twice, and then we were going to do it, you know?
Wow.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we did fix some little things here and there, but
yeah,
modern, pretty much what you hear is what we did.
Modern magic, yeah. Yeah, amazing. Well, anything you'd like to talk about further? Tell our audience about?
Well, something you might find interesting is that I actually have had a lot of luck getting my music on television.
Uh-huh.
Licensing it out.
Uh-huh.
It's been really good for me. I mean, you know, I've gotten on like probably over 100 television shows by now.
Wow.
And it's been pretty cool. There have been occasions where I've found out that it was on something like that I wish I had seen. I mean, I never end up seeing it. I just get statements, but...
That's so you, it's licensed and you get royalties off of that. That's
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful.
Yeah. We've only got three of your discs, and I'm wondering if you'd be kind enough to send Tomorrow's Too Late, Lost and Found, and Tell the World.
Sure,
so we
of course.
Can explore back into your work even further, and I have the ability to put it on our automation system, so it'll play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I would love to send it.
It'll play.
I appreciate you guys playing it.
That'd be fantastic. Well, thank you so much for the interview, and I'm going to play some more of this now. Let's see here, there's number two, and we'll be in touch.
All right, Gary, I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much, BT.
Take care, man.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's see here.